Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
I think it's safe to say that we enjoy being served. I have an 11-year-old at home who lives to be served. That's his purpose in life. He had a friend spending the night a couple weeks ago, and they had breakfast. And I said, "Hey, bud, are you done with your plate? You can put it up." He goes, "Oh, I need another pancake." "Well, go get one." "Oh, I need someone to cut it up." I go, "You can cut a pancake. Not like a big old steak or pork chop or something. You just take a fork and slice up." I go, "Cody did it. His friend Cody went and got a pancake, no problem. I think you can handle that." And it was a little bit of a chore, but we finally got him to do that. Finally said, "You know, piece of cake, right? No problem." But he loves being served. I was thinking about when Carmen and I went on our honeymoon. It's the first and only time I've... Because now I know some folks have been to things, especially people going on cruises and that sort of thing, but we went to one of those all-inclusive resorts in Mexico. Wow. Nothing like just laying on the beach there and just calling the little cabana boy, what is it? Yeah. "I need something to drink." "Yeah, can you get me something to eat?" "Yeah, just bring it on down here. I'm going to stay right here on the beach, okay?" We love being served. That's why we go out to eat a lot of times, because we don't want to prepare dinner. We don't want to have to do the cleanup. We want somebody to take care of us. Now, sometimes we get a little carried away with that. I was thinking back. So my mom was just the most amazing woman you would ever meet. So sweet. People loved her dearly. One thing we kind of disagreed on was how we treated fast food. Fast food, you go up to the counter, you order, you get your tray, you go, you sit down, you eat, you put your trash on your tray, and you go throw it away, right? That last part was the one she had a problem with. She would leave her trash there on the table and say, "Mom, you're supposed to pick that up." "Oh, no, they'll get that. They'll get that. That's why there's trash cans along here, Mom." "We're supposed to do that." But no, I mean, even she was expecting to be served. She's expecting them to take care of her trash. So we do love being served. Where we struggle sometimes is when it's our turn to serve others. While we like serving, it's hard to reciprocate that and serving others. But we are called to serve. And that's what we're going to look at today, is a call that was placed on our life to serve by Jesus. And also, what I love about Christ, he was not a do as I say, not as I do kind of guy. He modeled the service as well. And we're going to look at a couple examples of that. So turn to Mark chapter 10. And we're going to start reading in verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do us a favor." "What is your request?" he asked. They replied, "When you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left." Now, just prior to this passage, they had just had an encounter with the rich young ruler. Many of you may be familiar with that, where he came to Jesus and wanted to know what he needed to do to get eternal life. And Jesus talks about the law, and he says, "I've kept all those laws since I was born." And then Jesus says, "All right, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and then come, you can follow me." And he couldn't do that. He had amassed great wealth, and he couldn't get rid of that wealth. And he walked away sadly. And Jesus turned to the disciples and said, "See, it's riches are not the be-all, end-all." He said, "It's easier for a to enter the eye, for a camel to enter the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter heaven. We get so wrapped up in our riches and we can't give those up. So even though they just had this example, now here's James and John saying, hey, we want to be on either side of you when you're on your throne. And if you actually look at this, we're reading it out of Mark, but if you look at this in Matthew, they had mom with them too. Mom wanted them to be on either side of Jesus. We get so wrapped up in position and power, and we forget about others. So in verse 38 it says, but Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with? Oh, yes, they replied, we are able. Then Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering. So many times we'll sit there and say, bring it on. I want that. I want that power. I want that responsibility. And then when we get it, we find we can't handle it. We're not prepared for it. I've had some, throughout my professional career, I've had some times where I've been in management. And in my position now, I remember, so I just got a new manager last February. So great. I've had the same manager for a full year now. That hasn't happened for a while. And we had a career discussion. And he found out a little bit of my past and what I was doing, you know, today. And he asked about management. He said, do you ever have any desire to move up into management? I said, no. Nope. Where I'm at right now, I'm fine. I don't need that extra responsibility. Now, I did, so a couple weeks ago, I did go ahead and I was asked about a management position. So I had an interview. So when I was approached about it, it was like it would just be purely from a people management standpoint. And I'm like, well, I can probably handle that. That there wouldn't be all the extras that came along with it as far as, you know, you're having to be on call, you're having to be engaged after hours, that kind of thing. You don't have to have the technical aspect of it. Well, then when I went for the interview, the person, the hiring manager, his manager was in there. So his manager's like, oh, yeah, so you're going to be on these TRTs. That's what they have at MasterCard. When there's a problem, you engage a call, you call these technical resources in, you got to solve the problem. I'm like, yeah, that's not something I'm interested in because I'm in a position right now where I have a great opportunity to balance work and home. I don't need that responsibility. But sometimes people see that power and they want it. They want it so bad. And as for James and John, Morton, Jesus said, you don't know what you're really asking for here. Now, he does say, he did say in verse 39, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized in my baptism of suffering. So later in life, as they are after Christ has been resurrected and Christ ascended, James and John were among the disciples who went out and spread the word. And they did suffer for it. But at this point, for what they were asking for, they really did not know what they were calling God to do. Verse 40 says, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared these places for the ones he has chosen. Don't you just love being able to say, hey, not my call. I don't have anything to say about this. God's got this figured out. But what's great is God does have a place for each and every one of us. So he knows who he wants to be in those positions. You know, sometimes we... I was reading a book somewhere where, you know, when you go and you're invited into a banquet or to an event or something, don't just assume to go, you know, to go to some place of importance when you sit down. Because then how many times do you get moved out of that when you do that? So I was thinking of, Bob Uecker. I must be in the front row, you know, where he's sitting in the game and they're coming to move him out. And he goes, I must be in the front row. When instead, he's up in the very top of the stadium. That's what happens sometimes when we think we're more important than we are and we take that position and then we have to get moved away from there. It's better to take that position up in the top row. And then if they want you to come down, they will bring you down and they will put you in that position of importance. But God does have a place and a position for each and every one of us. So, of course, you know, James and John are trying to get this, trying to get Jesus to prepare these spots for them. Well, the word gets out to the disciples. Verse 41 says, when the ten other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. Yeah, they weren't happy. Wait a minute, who are you guys to get this? What about us? You know, jealousy creeps in. In verse 42, so Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everybody else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Our call to service here. The men talked about this passage a couple weeks ago in our study. How men want to kind of twist the thing a little bit where it says that the woman would serve, the wives will serve their husband. And say, well, she's not serving me. But they missed a part above that that says that the husbands must serve God. They don't see that part of it. They're just looking at what's happening on the other side of it there. They don't accept their call to serve God and to serve others. And you can tell so much how a leader treats it by, you can tell how important a leader is or by how true a leader is by how they treat those underneath them. And just, and Christ was calling them. He told them just before this, he had predicted his death. And he says in this passage here, the Son of Man came not to serve others, but to give his life as a ransom for many. He was going to have the ultimate act of service here because he's giving his life for others. And he's trying to instill that into the disciple. You know, everything he did for the 3 years they were together is train. Trying to prepare them for when he wasn't going to be here. Well, as I said, besides the call that we just read about, and besides what Jesus just talked about here, how he was going to do that in giving his life, there were other ways that Christ modeled service. And the first one I want to look at is in John chapter 13. And we're going to start in verse 4. So this is the Jesus and the disciples are in the upper room. They're getting ready to have that Last Supper. And in verse 4, it says, so he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had around him. Jesus took on the role of a servant, but he not only took it on in physical appearance, but he took it on in action as well. He took off his robe and he put a towel on, just like a household servant would be, because that's what they would do when you would have a guest come in. You would have a household servant who would be there to wash their feet when they came in. And that's how he prepared himself. He modeled that just not only in action, but in the attire as well. He wanted to fully get the picture. Now, the great thing about raising a second generation of children is in being able to share some things from back from your time, right? But matter of fact, Eli was getting his hair cut yesterday, and he and the girl that were cutting his hair were talking about music, and he throws out a song. And she goes, well, how do you know that song? And he's talking about, well, you know, a lot of songs today, they take from back in our day, right? And then they tweak them around a little bit, remix them, and make them sound a little jazzier. But, you know, it's not always new stuff there that you got, buddy. Well, one of the things that Eli and Bella started getting into was the TV show Girl Meets World. I said, well, if you're going to watch Girl Meets World, you got to watch Boy Meets World. Because I watched that with your mom. See, then Corey and Topanga, now they're parents and they got kids, but now you got to go back when they were growing up. So we just watched an episode not too long ago. So, you know, Corey's brother, Eric, who's not the sharpest tool in the shed, he has a desire to be a weatherman when he grows up. So he tries for this internship at this TV station, and he goes in for the interview and chokes big time. So as he comes out of the interview, there's an older gentleman who's cleaning, wiping tables off, sweeping, that type of thing. And he engages Eric, and he's like, oh, well, what happened? He goes, well, I was trying for this internship, and I blew it big time. And he talked about how important that internship was for him to get that. And the guy said, well, did you tell her that? He said, no. He said, I just choked in front of the most important person here. And the guy said, no, you didn't. He shook his hand. He goes, well, what do you mean? He goes, I'm shaking hands with our new intern. He goes, I'm the most important person here. The guy goes, look, Eric's like, okay, I know a janitor is a big thing, but no, you're not the most important person here. Well, no, it was the station manager. But the station manager didn't look like a station manager, didn't look like anybody of importance, and he was doing menial tasks. But he was the guy in charge. He wasn't too big to take those tasks on. Jesus was modeling that here. He's not too big to take his robe off, to put a towel on, and to wash the disciples' feet. And he does that. In verse 6, when Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will. Again, Peter wasn't quite getting it, because again, it's hard to see a leader taking on the role of a servant and how they treat others. As I said, I've been in management, so I've had some opportunities to try to. And one thing that I actually enjoyed about management was the people aspect and trying to find a way to help people who needed help. Sometimes people, they look at this step of management as only the next step to get to this step, to get to this step. And I had a manager like that not too long ago. Young guy, on fire. Had a little problem with his language. And so I called him in one day. I said, hey, Brad, can I talk to you for a second? So we came in. I said, don't get me wrong. I'm not a prude. It's not like I've never heard the words before. You know, I get it. But sometimes when you're talking to people working underneath you and you start using this type of language, it's a show of disrespect to them. And I really think you need to be careful about how you talk to people who work underneath you. And he received it great. He really received it well. He said, thank you for bringing that to my attention. And he did. He made a conscious effort after that point to try to be careful about how he's in a team meeting or whatever. Now, one-on-one, you know, whatever happens one-on-one, that's, you know, and the other person's okay. But when you're in a group and you're talking to your employees, I said, you just need to be careful about it. And he received it well. Because how you treat the people underneath you is so important. So now Peter, he says, well, no, Peter protests, you will never wash my feet. Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. Simon Peter exclaimed, then wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, not just my feet. Jesus replied, a person who is bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you. For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, not all of you are clean. So this is another aspect of what Jesus is doing, because as he took on that role and washed their feet, he knew there was one there who was about to betray him. But he didn't say, all right, I'm going to do you 11 folks. Judas, you just need to stand over here. I'm not going to wash your feet. He washed all of them. Even though he knew what Judas was about to do, he still took on that role and he washed all their feet. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I love how Jesus went from modeling to then continuing to teach. He said, all right, now let's talk about what we've just observed here. I want you to make sure you fully understand what you need to do. And now that I've done it for you, you need to go and you need to do it for others. Again, that call to service and to do what I have done. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. He not only gives us a model, he tells us there's a blessing that awaits us. So, I had a little chat with Franny this week. Because one of the things that had, 8 years later, made such an impact on my life was a trip to Panama. And the ladies would be doing fingernails and that for other ladies. And I happened to be walking through the area. And I saw Franny sitting there. She had an elderly lady sitting across from her. And she's just rubbing her arms. Rubbing them. And I could see how much this meant to the woman just by looking at her face. And I just stood there and observed that for a little bit. And what I was trying to remember as I talked to Franny about it this week was, I was trying to remember if like there was a story or not that went with it. And she goes, to be honest with you, I don't really remember. She goes, there may have been a story, but all I know was that's what I felt led to do, was just to sit there. And because the ladies in Corundu, for those of you who've been down there, and I know it's been shared among people here, they're not always treated with the most respect. And that meant so much for that woman to just have someone take a few moments and to rub her arms and to comfort her. And Franny said, just think about what that, she goes, what that meant for her. Think about what that meant for you because you're remembering it 8 years later. I said, that's right. It's still impactful to me today. And she said, you know what? And not only that, but I was blessed by it. It meant something to me to be able to do that for that woman. So see, there's a blessing that goes to the person. There's a blessing to people who are observing. And there's a blessing to you is taking that act of service. And that's what Jesus is trying to get across to us. It's not just, I want you to go serve others, but you will be blessed by serving others. So I want us to look at one other example, and it's in John chapter 21. Starting in verse 4. So Jesus has been resurrected. He's made a couple appearances to the disciples. It's been kind of a crazy time for the disciples. So Chris Fox, when things are kind of going rough for you and you need to get away, what do? You go fishing. And that's what they did. They said they were going to go do some fishing. So they're out there fishing, and in verse 4 it says, at dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples could not see who he was. He called out, fellas, you caught any fish? No, they replied. Then he said, throw your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some. So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Lord Jesus standing on the beach calling out to them. They're not having a great night fishing, but I think Chris can say, even if you're not having a great night fishing, it's just, I'm not a big fisherman, but I do enjoy fishing sometimes just because it's nice and relaxing just to sit there and just kind of chill, you know? But they're not catching any fish. They also don't know who's talking to them yet from the shore. So he says, drop that net on the other side and let's see what happens. And what's great about that, wouldn't you think it'd be kind of easy for them to say, well, hey, don't you think we've tried that already? But they did it. They dropped the net over, and then their nets are so full, they can't bring it all in. Verse 7, then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. Have you ever had a moment where it's just like blinders have been taken off your eyes and you're like, duh, that's what that is. So I can tell you, you know, you always had those moments in life where you know where you were, right? So I can tell you exactly where I was when Mark McGwire tied the home run record at 61 on Labor Day in 1998. I was up at Mark Twain Lake skiing with my friend Steve and a couple other folks. And so we were at Indian Creek Marina eating lunch, and Steve had his radio on. And so as we're sitting there, the game starting, there's a family that's camping there. And what I found interesting in retrospect was mom was the one talking to us. Dad was just quietly sitting there. So mom goes, hey, how's the home run thing going? We've been up here all weekend camping. Told him what it was. Well, he needs one more to tie the record. And then he hits the home run. He ties the record. And the marina, everybody's just going crazy, right? So this family's getting ready to leave. And one of the things we're commenting on is they have a very nice professional ski boat. So they get on their boat and they start to pull away. And those blinders were taken off my eyes. I said, Steve, oh my gosh, you know who that is? He goes, who? I go, that's Todd Worrell. He goes, no, it isn't. I said, Steve, I'm telling you, that's Todd Worrell as they're pulling away. And he refused to believe me. Matter of fact, as we would pass him on the lake sometime, they'd wave at us, we'd wave at them, we'd go, oh, there goes Todd. He'd go, ha ha ha. So a couple months later, for those of you who don't know, Todd Worrell is very involved in Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and he was on a call-in show. So Steve called in. And you know what, folks? I was right. That was Todd Worrell. Because he said, yep, that was me. He described my buddy's boat and everything. You know, sometimes we just get so blinded by things and we miss the obvious. And that's what happened here with the disciples. They got Jesus talking. They just spent 3 years with this guy. And if you look later, we're going to read, they were only 100 yards away from him. So it's not like they were way out in the middle of the lake. I mean, they were close enough for Peter to just go swim right on in. But they didn't see him right away. Until John said, it's the Lord. See, if you think back, John remembers, hey, we've kind of had this experience before. Because when they were called to be his disciples, this is what happened. They're fishing. He tells them to throw their net on the other side, and all of a sudden they catch fish. And then he calls them to be fishermen. So John's like, oh, I've seen this story before. When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water. I don't know, that's funny how they got to put that, you know, for he stripped for work in parentheses there. He jumped into the water and headed to the shore. Peter wasn't waiting now. I'm going in. That's the Lord there. The others stayed with the boat. Gotta love it. They stayed there. All right, we'll bring, Peter, you go on. We'll bring it in, all right? The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from the shore. What's great about this is when they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. Fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. You gotta love it. Wasn't ready for that yet, but okay. No. Jesus is on the beach hanging out, cooking for the disciples. I used to do a little camping. Pastor Carl, I know you love the scouts. One of the things I enjoyed about camping was getting up in the morning, getting some coffee going, and cooking outside, cooking breakfast outside. So I do that at home now. You see, I have a little propane stove, so I like to go out and I like to cook some breakfast at home. And I took that picture. I was not really a very good friend. I took that picture so I could send it to Tony DeFranco and torment him. Say, I'm cooking some bacon, buddy. You're missing out. I mean, it's, you go from, we talk about just the amazing act of Christ washing the feet of the disciples. And then something like this where he's a friend. He's their friend. Hey, you guys are fishing. I'm going to cook some breakfast for you while you're out there. And when you come in, you're going to have some breakfast to eat. Verse 10 says, bring some of the fish you've caught. Now, what's great about that is he's telling them to bring the fish. You know, Jesus already has fish because he's already cooked fish for them. We said, hey, bring the fish. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged a net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and the net hadn't torn. Now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served, this is like, again, he made the breakfast in verse 13, then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. He made it, and then he served them. It wasn't a buffet where you go get your own. He serves them. Verse 14, this was the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples since he'd been raised from the dead. So see, they've seen him before. And there for a moment, they weren't catching who it was. And then they got it. What an amazing model Jesus showed us in so many ways of service. I know in my life, I have received many great acts of service. One was, we just had the 6-year anniversary. I don't know if you want to call it an anniversary or not, because that sounds like you want to celebrate it, but 6-year anniversary of Carmen breaking her leg and her ankle. Ouch is right. And there were so many people that day who did so many things to help take care of us. Some things big, some things as much as Gene and Beth bringing me a burger from Culver's and forcing me to eat because I hadn't eaten all day. And sometimes when you have that initial moment of where there's a great need, and that day of people are there, and then as time goes on, it just kind of slips away from your memory, even though there's still a need there. So one, and as I said, so many people took care of us in so many ways, but there was one I wanted to share. Some of you may remember Jason and Shelley Brown, who used to be a part of our SCRC family, and they're still good friends of ours. Matter of fact, that was their son, Cody, that was spending the night with Eli a couple weeks ago when Eli couldn't cut his pancake. So Shelley had a teenage daughter. Madison was like 14 or 15 at the time. And she said, Mom, I want to do something to help them out. What can I do to help them? So what Madison did was, for several weeks, because I had Eli and Bella were in preschool at the time, so I had to get them to preschool back home. Carmen, unfortunately, was laid up, couldn't do anything. Madison would come over at the beginning of the week for several weeks, and she would get the kids' clothes laid out for the week. She would make their lunches for the week. You don't know what a huge relief that was. I mean, I battle that today, and they're 10 and 11, trying to get them up, get them ready, and make sure they eat breakfast or whatever, and in between Carmen and I trying to make sure they have lunch and all that. It was huge for this teenage girl to say, what can I do to help? And it was the help that continued for weeks on end. One of the things that I love about sports is you see so many examples. Because not only can you serve people by meeting a need, you can also serve them by bringing joy to them. And we just had another example in the sports world this week. I mean, there's so many. But there was a young man named Josh Spidell, who was a 5 years ago, was a highly touted, recruited basketball player out of Columbus, Indiana, high school basketball player. And he was recruited to go to the University of Vermont and play basketball. prior to starting his basketball career there, he was involved in a car accident and suffered a severe brain injury. And he was never able to play basketball until this past week. This past week was senior night. And so they had him suited up. He was on the bench for the University of Vermont. They were playing Albany. So they coordinated it, made an effort. So the Albany team would get the ball first. They would down and score the basket. And then Vermont had the ball. And it was set up to go down so that Josh Spidell could score a basket. And he scored a basket. And then the refs called timeout. And then everybody's just mobbing him, just hugging him. And he said, I am a college basketball player. You know, his name's in the record book now. And that doesn't happen unless these people could all get together and make it happen. Now, that was a concerted effort that required both teams, required the rest. You know, everybody needed to be a part of that. And they were. They gladly did it for him. Sometimes you don't know, though, when you might be impacting others. Now, as I was capturing this story in my notes, I broke down. As I shared it with Carmen this morning, I broke down. So, and she says, you're not usually very emotional, so hopefully I can make this make it through. And maybe you've all seen the story, so that will help. But there was a story a couple weeks ago of a mom and their little two-year-old son. They ordered some pizza, and the pizza delivery driver brought the pizza over. And the little two-year-old boy ran out and gave the pizza delivery driver a hug. And mom's like, oh. You know, they had one of the little video cameras in their doorbell. She goes, I wonder, that's so cute. I wonder if the video camera caught that. And it did. It caught that moment. So she shared it on social media. Oh, isn't it so cute? Because everything our children do is cute, so we've got to share it on social media. And our animals, too. So she shared it on social media. Well, the pizza delivery driver found out about it, so he wanted to contact the mom, and he did. And the reason he wanted to contact the mom was because he wanted to let her know how much that meant to him. Because, see, just a week prior, his 16-year-old daughter had died. And he wasn't going to get to hug her anymore. And he said that little two-year-old boy running out and giving him a hug was a gift from God. We don't know what people are going through. It could, you know, when we're at the grocery store, the person checking us out, if we're out to eat, our server, we don't know what they may be going through. I know sometimes now, if I see someone who's maybe a little bit of cranky, you know, not that I can't get a little bit of cranky. I was last night at Cheesecake Factory while I was waiting for our table, but because I made a reservation for 5:45. Why am I not at my table at 6 o'clock yet? But we don't know what people may be going through. And maybe they're, so, you know, sometimes I see someone's a little down. I'm kind of making an effort to just try to be, I'm going to try to get them to smile some way, you know. Because you don't know what they're going through. You don't know what their life's like. And that moment that you just bring a little bit of joy to them is such a great act of service. Because they need someone to lift them up. So it could be something that could be a concentrated effort requiring lots of people to be involved. Or it could just be you giving someone a smile, a handshake, a hug. Just like that little boy gave that pizza delivery driver a hug. And what that meant to him. So, you know, we talked about Jesus not only calling us to service, but modeling service. So that means we need to model service too, right? So one of the things that that Carmen and I are going to do now is we want to try to provide opportunities for people to be involved in a group, and maybe we can study some material and just get together and hang out small groups that Pastor Carl is leading. So we're going to start a little group, and we'll have more details on it next week, but we're going to start a little group on Sunday nights. Starting April 5th, we're going to meet every other Sunday night. Because so many people have actually continued to ask about the DeLui Giglio videos. So we're going to show those videos on Sunday nights. Every other week, starting April 5th, takes us through to June, I think it's June 7th. So if you want to be a part of that, let me know. Like I said, we'll have more formalized information next week. But if you want to be a part of that, let me know. We'll get you and we'll make you a part of that group. We need to look for ways to serve. And if you look at your bulletin, which we got up here right now, it's your serve. It's time for you to look and see what you can do to serve. So, Father, as we come to the close of the message here, Lord, I pray, Lord, that everyone here will examine their hearts and see what they can do to reach out and to serve someone else. And that there's someone here today who has a need. That's the hard part sometimes, Lord. We have a need, but we struggle to express that need. And if there's someone that has a need, make that need known so that we can put someone with them and we can get that need met, Lord. I thank you for the call to serve, not only for the call, but for the way that Jesus modeled that for us. He did it. He didn't just call the service, he did it. He served others, Lord. And I pray today that you just make those opportunities made known to us, Lord, that we can go and that we can serve others. We can meet needs and we can bring joy to them, Lord. And I praise things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.